League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Wells.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Minds are blown. What's up, everybody? It is In This League live right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's Bogman. It's the Welsh. We're here.
Hello.
We're doing a show. Hi.
Yeah.
Hey. We made it.
It's time. It's time for the show.
The show is here. There are things
to
talk about.
It must go on. It just started.
We had a moment like that. By the way, we're going to talk football. There's a lot of football to talk about. Bogman and I are actually doing a slow insanity mock draft. A slow mock draft for fantasy right now. Mm-hmm. Do a few notes about that. We're going to do a whole episode on it. Maybe a little bit of basketball, little basketballs, and lots of baseball. And a topic we want to talk about here right at the top. But how about this? We went on, we kind of went on a date with a listener. Mm-hmm. Not you and I. If you think about it, a long-time listener of our shows who actually listens to this show.
It was awkward because I, like when I was DMing him a thank you, I was like, hey, thanks for drinks and dinner.
Yeah, I mean, if you really think about it, it was kind of a day because he's like, hey, you know, really like to catch up with you guys. I'm in town. And he's like, I'm at this really fancy resort and dinner and drinks and all this. And we're like, yeah, sure. And then, you know, you pull up, we get up, we had to, you know, we're like, well, we got to look nice. And you walk up, you really think about it, it was kind of a date. And it was our boy Colin. And he was in town. Shout out to Colin. He listens to this show. And here's the big shout out I want to give. Because he did everything right as a listener to meet up with us. Because the first question that I pose when any, because, you know, we're not popular at all. But, you know, we have listeners that, you know, we're known for being in Arizona. There's not a lot of stuff in Arizona people are coming out for. They come out for spring training. And they're like,
depression,
hey, you idiots are out
walls,
here. Yeah, heat.
Heat.
Scorpions.
Spring training.
Yeah, that's about it. That's about it. Cactuses. And, you know, so people come out here and they know of us. They want to be like, hey, you want to catch something? And sometimes we can, sometimes we can't. My first thought when someone's like, hey, you know, I'd love to catch up and let's meet up and whatever, is I'm like, they're going to murder us. And that's my first thought.
Yeah, you have that, well, what should I, I don't know how, would you call it paranoia? I mean, what would you call that?
I don't know, something like that. Insanity.
Yeah.
I posed the poll. I was like, all right, so what happens? Everything is great. Things are really awkward. We get murdered or we are chopped up into pieces and they eat us. Like that was my four options of the likely scenarios of what was going to happen with meeting Colin.
I'll risk the 1% chance that we're going to be chopped up into little pieces and eaten for free drinks and a meal.
Yeah.
So,
well, and we've had that before where someone's like, hey, I'll buy you a hot dog or whatever.
You've been chopped up and eaten before?
No. The food, the food invoice.
Oh,
no. But that doesn't get anybody. Like Bogman doesn't get excited if you're offering up a hot dog. When it's like, hey, drinks and food at this nice restaurant, Bogman's like, I'm going to get my dinner shirt on. I might go buy me a new shirt.
I get all gussied up in my best Who Farted t-shirt. And then I make my way on down the road.
Don't mind if I do. I'm going to go out and get looking nice. And Bogman was all ready for his date because he knew he was getting stuff. So I was in a spot where I was like, all right, we're going to get murdered. And then when I come off of the murder a little bit, I start to just be like, ugh, this is going to get weird. Like it's gonna it, it And I got to tell you something.
Always assume that.
But I got to also tell you something. It's usually weird. It is.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, there's people that aren't weird, and there's people that go out of their way to not make it weird. But the weirdos don't know that they're being weird. And it has happened before. It has happened before. And they don't know that they're being weird, and they like to peacock sometimes, or, you know, whatever it is, whatever it is. And it's okay. I'm not necessarily judging. It's just like, don't make it look super awkward for me. So this isn't something we do all the time, but, you know, we like to be amicable to people that come out to Arizona when we can. But like, I went away from murder. I went away from Murder Bog, and I thought, this is going to get awkward though.
Yeah. So I'm with you. I think there's always some initial awkwardness, and I think it is usually because of, and you and I have talked about this before, when you know, you're an 80s kid like we were, and the first time you see the guy that talks on the radio, you're unbelievably unimpressed.
We talked about, like, because Colin was kind of like, oh man, it's so, you know, I hear you guys all the time and you're here, and he didn't do any, like, you look so different. But then we brought it up where I was like, yeah, people get that. What we should have said, and what you're alluding to, is like, there's no way we ever live up to any outside of being. I almost lost $100. I caught you, heard me cuss myself. Outside of being monsters and being, you know, just ridiculous, that we will live up to. But if you have any other expectation, there's no way we could live up to anything. But yeah, I don't know what our voices look like in your brain, but it's probably much different. So it has to be a horrible experience for someone meeting us.
I don't know that it's a horrible experience, but it's like a, you know, I bet it's like a, you know, I bet Bogman's not as fat as he says.
And, you know how many people that have met us and
they're like, oh, okay, yeah, he is. All right.
But you know what? It's pulling the curtain back. Really? Yeah, I got an idea. We should never meet any listeners, because here's the deal. How many listeners have we met? Then like a month later, they're like, yeah, I'm going to quit their Patreon. I'm going to stop supporting you guys. It was really nice meeting you. As soon as they know who we are. And
maybe it's because you come on the radio and talk about how you thought you were going to their kill room.
Yeah.
Instead of going to have drinks and dinner with them.
I did say that. And I was like, I was trying to get a rise out of Bogman. I was like, we're going to the kill room, right? No, but like, I don't think it's a personality thing.
Don't mind all these plastic curtains. Everything's normal here.
I think we become human. And not that we're not human, but we're more like, we're just like, the people realize, like, oh, these are just losers. These are just two idiots that are on a podcast. And how many times people disappear immediately after they meet us? It's an incredibly underwhelming situation. It's not like Tinder, where we're out here and we're like, hey,
Tinder,
where it's our, we're like, hey, look at our profile pic. And they meet us and like, you don't look like your profile pic. God knows what the expectation is. But I assume, you know, I assume we'll disappoint. I assume it's going to be awkward. But to the real part of it, Colin knocked everything out of the park. He checked every box you checked. Here it is. Directions, communication. We got there, immediately started up conversation, was friendly, was excited, never dulled the conversation. Most important, he paid for everything. That's the best. Pay for everything, and it's going to be a fantastic time. Dinner, drinks, wanted to get us drunk. Never a dull in the conversation. Hilarious. One of the funniest moments of all time happened there, and I'm so excited to talk about it on a secret show. I'm not going to waste it anywhere but the secret show.
Yeah,
and
it's hilarious.
And that also, like, we really have to keep funny. It behind a paywall, frankly. Mm-hmm. Guess who it's about. It's one of the funniest moments of all
time.
And
guess who embarrassed themselves? Yeah, between us. Guess who it was? Yeah,
that's why I'm so excited. I mean, to be fair, neither one of us had eaten all day. And then we get there and we immediately get two beers into us. And we were both feeling really good. And Pogman's feeling a little too comfortable. It was really funny.
Well, I'm loud anyway. And, you know, might have made some inappropriate comments. That's all. Yeah, so.
Really loudly, too. But Colin, he checked all the boxes. Like I said, most importantly, he paid for everything. That's number one, right? Of course.
I mean, I don't know if that's number one.
No, it's number one.
I think don't take us to a kill room is number one.
Okay.
And then pay for everything.
Yeah. Treat us like you're trying to take us home when the night's over. But seriously, but engaging conversation, never awkward, none of that stuff. It was a good experience. Colin changed my perspective of potentially meeting listeners, which, you know, it's a crapshoot. I mean, it really is. It's like getting on a motorcycle on the freeway, and it's like, I might die, but I might get home really fast. Like, you don't know which one it's going to be. And it was a good experience.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
you didn't have as good a time as I did, but
No, of course I didn't, because I embarrassed myself. But I never really had a problem with meeting. I don't know. I think you make it awkward.
I don't.
You don't?
How do I make it awkward?
Because you assume the worst. And it's funny because I'm usually the guy that assumes the worst. So I'm never disappointed.
Yeah.
Like you get disappointed by things. And I kind of sit back and go, well, what do you expect? You know what I mean? That's just kind of how I am. You know, I expect things to go sideways or be weird or something like that. But you're much worse about that with meeting people, apparently, than I am. So,
but I also love it. I like it more than you. Like Colin, he did this thing.
I don't think you do.
No, I actually do. I mean, I love feeling good about myself because all I do is not feel good about myself. And Twitter makes me not feel good about myself. And specific people that I have to interact with make me not feel good about myself. So whenever I can feel good, it's great. And meeting people, for the most part, that enjoy what we do, that is an enjoyable experience. I mean, Colin, I mean, I was blushing. He was like, oh, I got both the books. He's like, I'll be honest with you. I thought about bringing them so you guys would autograph them. He's like, but no. And he laughed it off like it was a hilarious joke. And I'm like, you should have done that. That'd have made me feel like a prince. I'd have felt like a goddamn princess.
You're the prince who was promised.
I was the prince right. That was promised. It was, he was flattering. He checked all the boxes. Bachman. I want to have good experiences. I like it. I like interacting with people because if someone goes to the level of actually wanting to hang out with us in any capacity, that's like, oh, that's someone that actually likes us. Because I know, you know, from you and I's, personality, it would take so much for us to want to meet someone we really like. We have a show that we both invest in.
I never want to meet people that I listen to and enjoy.
We've gone to the shows for those people you had the chance to meet them and you're like, I don't want to meet them.
I don't want to meet them. And maybe this is a bad, this is the same thing that, you know, I expect the worst. So if there's something I really enjoy, I don't want to go meet the people making it or doing it because if they're having a bad day, if they're having a bad day and then, you know, that's my only interaction with them ever. And now I don't like them. Or that really, whatever it is, really rubs me the wrong way. And I've had that happen to me multiple times. You know, it just kind of ruins whatever that thing I was enjoying. So I don't like meeting people that I admire. So because I feel like, you know, it's just a chance for something to go sideways. That's all.
Sure. But also at the same time, like.
But I like meeting people who want, you know, anyone who wants to meet us, I would love to meet you.
Yeah.
So
what a pretentious thing this sounds like, by the way. Like five people in a year actually like come through and want to like meet us. Like this isn't something where it's a like we could like if we put on if we thought we were the footballers and we thought we could go put on a live show, we would be laughed out of the room because we would sell five tickets in our own state. And
sure,
three of them would be from our family.
Right. I mean,
nobody cares about
how sad we are. I understand that. My point is, if you're like Colin and you're coming through Arizona because, you know, you're doing some work function here, then hit us up. You know, if we have time, we'd be more than happy.
But also, when have I ever made it weird? Like you've been around. We've been for the most part. We've met listeners kind of in the same capacity. I turn it on. Like sometimes I get kind of like, oh, God, like if someone makes it weird, then I'm going to have to like turn it on, or is there an expectation where it's got to be turned on? But I don't usually let lulls in the conversation go on, so I don't necessarily make it. Only time I made it weird was maybe that one time we were at Royal Rumble. Maybe that was but we don't even get into the specifics about that. That might have been the only time I made something weird.
Yeah, it was on that purpose, wasn't, though.
Definitely wasn't with a listener, though.
No, it wasn't. So, there are plenty of times where I, I just caught what you
late
were
reaction
there.
Of the deep voice. Though I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, you know, I think that meeting people's great, and I enjoy doing it. Is what I'm saying. The point I'm trying to get across here is maybe
did your voice
just
change?
Maybe
you make it weird. No, this is how I always sound. You make it weird because of your expectations of it being weird. That's all I'm saying is maybe that's a you know, self-fulfilling prophecy.
Make sure to Instagram a photo without us tagged. Just do that. So, I mean, but I as much as I can be abrasive, I think I come off, especially if you meet me in person, I come off as a likable person. I don't make myself unlikable, at least at first.
Okay.
I mean, if you don't agree. Jack, our guy Jesse, listener, he's still around. He's become our friend now. He's not a listener. Yeah. He's our friend. I haven't scared him off.
Yeah.
Am I the problem? Yet.
No.
Am I the donkey? Is it realized like in the poker room and it's like, oh, I don't think I'm the problem. I've had some awkward interactions. I told you about a couple of them.
They're at baseball games. Here's the thing. Like, I have... That's also, I'm not abrasive. I'm usually a pretty nice guy.
But you're also pretty upfront. You would tell someone like, hey, yes, stop being weird. I would never do that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's the difference between us. I'd be like, hey, man, you need to calm it down. I need you to ratchet it back about 20%. You think you can do that? Like, settle it down. And I've never had to do that with a listener. I've had to do that with, like, people I know. You know what I mean? But I'm, you know, I can be somewhat abrasive in that front, but I also think that you're not doing anyone any favors when you're letting them act like a jackass. You know, if you have the chance to rein them in, there's some people you just can't control. You know, you're like, oh, this guy's going to be an idiot and he's drunk and that's just what he's going to do.
We get the same things when we meet, like we meet like loads of fantasy people, you know, like first pitch and whatnot and some other functions. You know, we met a lot of industry people and there's the awkward guys that involve in that. There's the big personalities, and sometimes there's the dicks that are in there too. It's all walks of life. That's why it's a little bit of a gamble, a little listener roulette sometimes when you know, we spin the wheel and it's like, I don't know what we're gonna get. I don't know what's
gonna
happen.
Awesome drinks and great conversation or kill room, Dexter.
It's only one of the two. It's only one of the two. But all I want to get across mainly is, like, I mean,
this Colin is awesome.
You pay for an evening, you're gonna get I might call
Welsh
you back.
The Welsh friend experience.
I might call you back. So, no, I'm just
kidding. That's right. Sasha Gray in the girlfriend experience. Yeah. And
the Welsh experience.
Chris Welsh in the Welsh friend experience.
The Welsh experience. So. Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't be the first time someone called us a whore for, you know, just wanting nice stuff and things. Right? I mean, at least we say it in a nice way. It's usually not said to us in a nice way. All right, we're going to talk about things when we come back, so don't go anywhere. We want to talk about one of the biggest prospects in baseball who's struggling and a whole lot more in this league.
Struggle, bud.
We'll be back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Stop it. Don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh. In the bleed.
All right, welcome back. This is In This League, live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, but not live. You know what I mean? Just a show.
We're here.
The thing. That's Bogman. I'm the Welsh.
Hi.
Hi. And I like when you give us stuff. You know how depressing it was when we were talking about the book? When he was like, I didn't get an autograph. I'm like, oh my God, that make my day. And I was like, I got one in the back of my car and I got a pen. I'm like, you want it, I'll do it. And we all got drunk and we forgot about it. But then it reminded me of the other day when we looked at the total sales of our book.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I need another beer. And I still have books in my car and office.
Right. But we don't need to do that. So
no, we were feeling good. We had a fun first segment talking about all the fun we had. Then we think about the book and it, takes it down a little notchy, little notcher.
I don't know. Does that, is that feeling as low as Vladimir Guerrero Jr.'s batting average?
Oh, right, we're in a much worse spot.
We're worse than 143.
Yeah. We had almost as high expectations as the world had on Vlad that we did on our book. But Vladimir Guerrero still has a chance.
I feel like that's like hitting 215 and then hitting 215 again when you're expected to go up to, you know, 250.
We've been like Joey Gallo. That's what we've been. We've been Joey Gallo. And but
let's
I mean,
keep doing it. Hopefully we'll hit the 260 1 year. So
I mean, that means the third year we're supposed to click up a little bit. Maybe that's the case. Yeah, that's an amazing analogy. Now, Vladimir Guerrero still has a chance, Box. That's the big difference. But I don't think I necessarily set the stage for this. I mean, you tell me, Box. I don't want to be the person, because I do hate it sometimes. We have to do it on occasion where we have to be like, listen, I told you this. But when you do it too much, you become, it's really off-putting. Mm-hmm. But I tried to temper expectations with Vlad where I talked about the power. I know I talked about that a little bit, that, you know, if you come in expecting Vladimir Guerrero to do what Pete Alonso did, I think you're going to be maybe a little bit disappointed, because huge, huge power, 40 plus homers, even like Eloy Jimenez type power, that's not necessarily his game. It might be at some point, and it's not to say that he's not capable of it, but what Vladimir Guerrero does is he owns the plate when he's up there, and he can shoot it to any direction on the field, but it might be a single.
Shooting it to all the fielder's gloves right now.
to all the ground is what he's doing right now. But he's got a knack. He's a doubles hitter is how I would describe him. Kind of like how Paul Goldschmidt has always been labeled. But he's super, super, what's the word I'm trying to say? He's
terrible.
He's really right terrible right now. But patient. He's really patient at the plate. He's going to find the right pitches. And this is the first time at any level that Vladimir Guerrero has really been tested. He has dominated at every spot. I don't know if I talked about any temper average.
It's only 24 plate appearances. So,
well, it's super, super small sample size. Yeah, but did I ever talk about it, Box? Did I ever mention average? Because power was a thing I know for a fact that I tried to temper people on with expectations, but I'm not sure we ever really talked about like extended issues with being able to connect with the ball or anything like that, which he is facing right now.
Yeah, I remember you talking about him being a doubles hitter, and clearly, like you said, he's not going to come in and hit 40. And if you're expecting that, that's just expecting too much. But the batting average was there. We talked about it, how Steamer had him, you know, already projected to lead the league in batting average.
Yeah.
So I also remember you saying that he was possibly the face of Major League Baseball.
Still is.
And now
you're going to do that.
I'm just saying it's a week. I just said all the stuff about how it's an extremely small sample size. I just, you know, you take your wins where you can get them, the Welsh. Yeah. It's been a week.
And you're going to be like Nick Senzel, face of baseball. He's the first guy up. Everyone cares about him.
He's not. He would be, a silver slugger if he hits my weight, but he's not even hitting, barely half of my weight here. So
struggles. You know. What is he down to now? He went down to 143. OBP is 150, a slugging of 190. He's got
250 OBP.
250, I'm sorry, with a 190 slugging. The worst of his career strikeout percentage. Again, these super, super small sample sizes, but like Vladimir Guerrero doesn't really strike out, and he struck out 6 times. Already this year. And for perspective, let's see. He struck out.
Do you think this is all nerves?
I don't think it's nerves. By the way, in 30 games in AAA in 2018, he struck out 10 times. In all of 2018, he struck out 38 times. I was looking one time in rookie ball he did. So 2018, he struck out 38 total times, and he struck out 7 times now in his 24 plate appearances. No, I don't think it's nerves with him. I mean, I could see where you could talk about expectations. I think it's just the adjustment. I mean, he's the adjustment king in how he's able to approach at bats. But I don't think it's ridiculous to think like, okay, now you're facing the best pitching in baseball. You're facing the best strategy. People are doing their due diligence left and right on you. There's tape on you. People are attacking your weaknesses more than ever. All this is an adjustment to him. And Boggs, we could always go back to take a look at Mike Trout.
Oh,
no?
Yeah. I mean, it's clearly a joke when I talk about, you know,
him
not being the face of baseball and all that stuff. I know you know it, but not everyone listening.
But wait, but you were saying, like, could he be, what'd you say, like nervous or?
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, his strikeout percentage, like you said, is 28.6%, the highest he's ever had at a single level was 13.4%.
So look at this real quick, though, Boggs. In 2011, Mike Trout came up to the majors. And I know we've always talked about it a little bit. Let's look at the stats here for a minute.
Right, right.
Mike Trout in 2011 in double A, because he went from double A up to the majors, he had an 18% strikeout percentage, and about 11% walk percentage while hitting 326. More perspective, in 2010 in high A, he hit 306 with a 14% strikeout rate and 11.5% strikeout rate. He gets to the majors, plays 40 games at the major league level. He hits 220 with a 281 OBP, 130 points lower than his double A appearance. His slugging is 150 points lower, and his strikeout percentage was over 20%. It was 22.2%, and he had a 6.7% walk percentage. For perspective, that strikeout percentage is the highest until he had two seasons in 2014 and 15 of 26 and 23%. And he has never had a professional season where he's had a walk percentage under 10%.
And that was a 40 game sample size, you said, right?
Yeah. For 150,
this is six games.
135 plate appearances.
Right. This is six games for Vlad. So I'm 1000% not worried. I guess if you are a redraft owner, you probably need to be not worried, but getting a little nervous, because at what point does this sustain where he's hitting, you know, maybe under 200 or 215 ish, where he just looks like maybe they brought him up a touch early and there's rumblings of him getting sent down? Is that after a month? Is that after?
Are you saying there are rumblings or should?
No. I'm saying when would there be, not should there be. Because I don't think there should be at any point. I think he's probably going to be up for the entire season. But should he continue to struggle, when do you think the Blue Jays would kind of start the, maybe we brought him up too early, maybe we should send him back down? Is that the All-Star break? Is that next month? When is that?
I think they're going to want to see 100 plate appearances. I think that's okay. What they're going to want to see. If he's hitting sub 200 or, you know, I don't know, 215 and his strikeout. I think they're going to look at some of the peripherals. Right now, he's got a 14% walk rate and a 28.5% strikeout rate. They're not going to want to see stuff like that. They're going to want to see closer to career numbers. Call it, you know, 17, 18. They're going to see probably under 25, maybe closer to 20% strikeout rate. Make solid contact. I mean, right now, looking into some of his numbers, here's another thing. And this is kind of where I talked, you know, when I talk about the not necessarily crazy home run rates. He has a 0% home run to fly ball ratio, but it's way too small of a sample size. Everything is on the ground right now. It might be his approach. It might be how he's
one extra
pitched.
Base hit. I mean, how many hits does he even have at this point?
He has
three. He's got two singles and a double. So
yeah, I mean, but and it could be the approach that's on him. His hard hit percentage is 58%. So he's hitting the ball, but he is pulling, and he's pulling it 41% of the time. But I mean, I guess that's actually might be a little bit lower than usually his career percentage. It's just there's no luck. There's nothing. There's no ball in the air right now. And think of how rookies get approached at the major league level. You think, not to say that like major league pitching is going to lay off sometimes on rookies, but you know, for the most part, you might have attacking veterans, and then, you know, pitcher might come to his normal stuff against a rookie, you know, who's still adjusting. I would imagine no pitcher wants to be the guy that's making Vlad look good, because you know why? You know, it's going to be on the highlight reel. And I know that's kind of like one of those things where people are like, you know, why would a guy try harder? You know, but they do. Like, don't tell me that they don't. They do. Guys do try harder in contract years. When there's stakes on the line, they ramp it up. They're going to ramp stuff up. And I think there might be a ramp up on Vlad, but it's such a small sample size. I'm curious, how deep do you think the worry is on Vlad right now? Like, what do you think people are doing?
I don't think it's deep at all. I brought this up purely for the fact that we talked about him so much last week. You know, this is a full week right now, and he hasn't performed yet. We're still, you know, to be honest, he hit one to the track in his first game that we thought was gone. I mean, most people thought it was gone. Camera angle, everything kind of tricked everybody. And, you know, we thought that's what was happening. And that was kind of, you know, when you see that, you're like, oh, man, he just missed that. But I wonder how many he's going to hit that first week or that first month. And it just hasn't come to fruition yet.
Also, Boggs, it looks worse comparative to all of the prospects that have come up. I just had Cross on Prospect One, if people want to go check it out. And I bring this up, and I think I even mentioned it somewhere else, and I haven't done the work because, frankly, I don't have the time to do it. And it's, if I have to pick and choose my battles, this isn't where I would pick my battle. But I feel like, and it, there could be a recency to it, that maybe this isn't the most, quote, prospects that have come up in the first, you know, month of a season. But I feel like this is the most impactful prospect call-ups that we have had between Alonso, Paddock, Tatis, Eloy Jimenez, Carter Kieboom. You now have Vlad, did I not say? Senzel is coming up. Then you go down the list a little further. You got, you know, Cole Tucker. I'm trying to remember. There's a couple other guys. And these are just debut guys. There were other guys that popped up. John Duplantier. And then you had, like, the guys like Justice Sheffield. I feel like more impactful prospects have come up in the first, you know, 5-6 weeks of the season than we've ever seen before. And there's been so much success that has surrounded them. It's built these skyrocket expectations. So then you get the number one guy in here. And yes, it's only been a week, but he's not hitting anything right now. There is a panic button that people want to hit.
Yeah, I mean, especially, you know, Carter Kieboom came up the same day as he did and hit a bomb.
Yeah, for his first professional hit was a homer.
Right, exactly. So you have the success of all these other youngsters, and this is the guy that, you know, was expected to come up and light the world on fire, and he comes up, and, you know, it's just not happening for him yet. And I think you're absolutely right. That's a big part about it. So I don't know. Like, do you think how would I try to phrase this? What would you trade Vlad for right now? What's the bottom player you think that you would trade Vlad in a redraft? Of course.
So in a Dynasty, redraft, I have Vlad and I'm like, crap.
You're like, this isn't working. You know what? Maybe I get out from under him while everyone is thinking that this is still just, you know, a temporary thing. You know, you just don't like the way he's looked or whatever it is. Or maybe you're just like, you know what? I'm going to trade him now for whatever reason. What's your bottom player that I can offer you to get Vlad?
I don't know if I know what the bottom player is. You might have to start asking and kind of going. But like, here's one I think that might be interesting.
Can I
think,
give you Joey Gallo?
Joey Gallo.
He's got 11 bombs. He's hit 264, 21 runs, 26 RBI.
I might take Gallo.
I mean, Gallo's not a bad one to take.
That might be the bottom. You actually, bug me, first try, you may have hit the bottom because I was going to say, what about this one?
I aimed
one?
For the head, so.
Yeah, thank you, Thor. You did it. But one thing I would throw to you is, what about this? Take a guy that preseason wasn't as high. He was lower than Vladimir Guerrero, but current performance has him up. And I am looking in an OBP league, so he might be adjusted a little bit higher. But what about a guy like Marcell Ozuna?
Yeah, I think I might do that.
I think I would take Marcell Ozuna. I mean, I'm also the one. I'm a prospect guy. I said if I had Vlad right before or at the come up, I would consider moving him. I would consider getting off of him. He's not someone I wanted to be invested in. I think I have one share of him in redraft. Now, we have like 11 leagues, and I think 8 of them are redraft. So I have a, you know, what is that, 15%? Is that right? Is that the math I did? That's not
would
right.
You flip him for Pete Alonso?
Maybe.
Because Pete Alonso's way up here. Like in your standard 5x5, he's ranked
not sure I would.
28. He's hitting 291. He's got 20 runs, 26 RBI, and 9 bombs.
Let me put it like this. If I'm trading Vlad, I'm not looking to trade him for another rookie. That's not what I'm going to do. That's not the game I'm going to play. I want veteran. You know, Gallo, you're buying the early performance. You're risking it. A guy like Marcell Ozuna, I think, is super interesting, though I'm not sure you can quite get it done. But if you
Ozzie,
you know,
Albies.
Two for two.
You weren't an Albies guy coming into the year. Neither was I. But he's hitting 292. He's got 6 bombs, 25 runs, 13 RBI, and 3 swipes. He ranks 45 in 5x5.
I mean, it's not bad. I mean, I think that's the range. I think range between 40 and I think when you get to 60, that's the low range of what you can take. I hate kind of talking about this a little bit because it sounds like we're sitting here and being like, Vlad is garbage, this, that, and the other thing. I think he's going to adjust and he's going to have a month And that's going to be the whole face of baseball thing. But I think there's, like we're seeing in the first, you know, 20-something at-bats or whatever, the first week, you're just going to see some up and downs. It's like a 20-year-old kid that's adjusting to the majors.
I know you don't like doing this one, but Christian Walker.
No.
No?
I knew you were going to do that one.
Okay.
No, I'm not doing that.
All right.
You offered that to me, I'm spitting your face.
Well, you're not going to spit in their face.
I'm going to spit in their face. Don't offer me
you
that.
Have, what about Hunter Dozier? Dude's
spit
hitting 344.
Spit in their face. I'm going to take an envelope, fart in it, close it, and mail it to them so when they open it up, that's what they get for sending me Hunter Dozier for Vladimir Guerrero.
Fernando Tatis Jr. He's on the disabled list right now, but he's hitting 300, six homers, six
whites. I don't want a rookie. I told you, I don't want a rookie.
Yeah, you did. You did tell me that.
No rookies. No rookies right. If I'm trading my rookie. Vlad's going to be okay, but I think, you know, we might end a season where Vlad ends up hitting 270, 280. He's going to, I mean, I think projections have him around 13, 14 homers or something like that. I think he can supersede that, but he is going through an adjustment. As a young kid who goes through struggles, we see it all the damn time. So I don't like fret anybody for having to worry. The problem is when you take this guy and you start doing silly stuff, Bogman. And I think people...
You're being a silly goose.
I think people are going to be out there being the big silly, and they're going to be trading him for guys like Brandon Lau or something like that. And
you silly geese.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Before you wreck yourself.
We're right back. It's more In This League. Scott Bogman, Chris Welsh on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network in just a couple minutes.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and smoking.
In This League.
Break it down.
If you guys haven't already, check us out over on Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army. It is, I don't know, it's the hub. It's the battery. It's the heart. Don't clog the valves. It's our
life
force.
I love a good hub.
It's a pretty good hub we have. But we do the secret shows, prospect lists, group me rooms. There's tons and tons of stuff. But the most important factor of all of it is when you're doing it, you are directly being a part and supporting us as we're independent podcasters. I mean, we do a show here on FNTSY, but everything we do is on our own time and our own dime. And everybody that supports, you are directly supporting us so we can do more content, telling us, you're directly telling us you want more content. And in the process, Patreon, I think we've got to be near the top of the amount of stuff we give back on it. The chats and the just everything. We get tons of stuff. We did three secret shows, three comedy-based shows, one breaking down Endgame, one breaking down the most recent Game of Thrones, and we did one of our comedy secret shows. That was all just this week. So if people want to step up, patreon.com/ITL Army. And I'm excited for the next one, Bogman.
Yeah, I know you are.
You too?
It's good. It's going to be terrible for me, but entertaining for everyone whose name is not Scott Bogman. So.
I mean, and those are literally the best secret shows we do.
The ones that embarrass one of us incredibly.
Yeah.
You think so?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's all people want. So we were talking about Vlad. I found an article. I happened to just literally pull up ESPN, and the article title is "Nobody's Slightly Worried About Him: How Vlad Jr. Has Won Him Over Already." Now, it's a different conversation when you're talking about real baseball to fantasy. I mean, if you're a Blue Jays fan, you're out of your mind. You're so happy. You have everything.
Did you see at the Raptors game the other day when him and Stroman went and they sat courtside and, you know, it's the playoffs right now. And they introduced him, I think, before the game or maybe after the first quarter or something. And everyone in the stadium was chanting Vladdy.
Dude, they were standing.
Including Marcus Stroman.
Dude, they gave him a jersey, a 27 Raptors jersey. The entire stadium was standing and chanting his name. He was at a basketball game. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is the best thing that's happened to Toronto since legal marijuana.
He's the prince that was promised.
He's the prince that was promised. It totally is. So this conversation, it is, they're two very different pieces because fantasy don't care. Fantasy is like, what are you doing for me right now? Blue Jays fans, baseball fans, everyone's happy. Not much is going to change, but it's just interesting in having this conversation. So I want to just read a little bit from this article. This is, who the hell wrote this? This is Alden Gonzalez wrote this article. So a little bit way down. He goes, he's already had his father's name and his number and his swing and his walk. Now, eerily, he has his stats. The minor league careers of Vladimir Guerrero Sr., which he hit .346 with a .403 OBP and a .588 slugging in 306 games, where Vladimir Guerrero Jr. hit .331 with a .414 OBP and a .531 slugging in 288 games. Very similar, and as he says, are strikingly similar. And so are the numbers through the first five major league starts. Vlad Sr. hit .200 with a .200 OBP and a .350 slugging. Vlad Jr., before, this is when this was written, .167 with a .286 OBP and a .222 slugging. And then he goes on for just a minute. He goes, nobody's slightly worried about him, to be honest. This is Toronto Blue Jays starting pitcher Marcus Stroman said of the younger Guerrero, stating that he would what should be blatantly obvious given the sample size. Everyone knows he's going to figure it out. And then upon his arrival in Anaheim on Tuesday, Guerrero was asked about the other player who wears 27 for the Angels. He furrowed his brow, confused as to why the question had been asked. He said, it's Mike Trout. Who doesn't know that? And then I think they're talking about, they obviously bring up the struggles and stuff like that. And, you know, it kind of goes on to talk about this, but it proves nobody is worried about him. Obviously the city of Toronto, whether it's the team, the fans or whatever, they're mesmerized. They are completely mesmerized by Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Fantasy owners don't need to be mesmerized, but they also want to be a little bit realistic long term on this.
Yeah, I mean, you can be as realistic as you want, but he is the king of the city right now. Yeah. And even with his struggles, just because he's the most anticipated. And it's funny, I think it was a great thing for Toronto sports to see Vlad Jr. get chanted in Raptor Stadium and see all of that stuff. To be honest, I think it was better for Kawhi Leonard than it was for Vladdy.
What
just
do you mean?
To know. Well, because Kawhi Leonard is a free agent after this season.
Oh, so you're saying like it kind of
to see the
Kawhi.
Love.
Gotcha.
Right. To see the love that the city will give a guy when he hasn't really done anything yet, just because they like him.
I don't know that guy cares about any of that. I mean,
well, he is weird. Like, he is a guy that you could see not totally caring about that stuff. But I mean, it has to do a little something for you, even the Heartless. I mean, he's not the Grinch.
Yeah, but so. I mean, you could also think, though, from a mentality standpoint, they're in the freaking playoffs, the basketball playoffs. And the entire stadium turned to talk about the young baseball player that, you know, I think there's a thing about Toronto that Toronto basketball might be the third sport. It might be it's a hockey town and then it wants to be a baseball town. And some of that might have bled through. I'm not sure anything is going to keep Kawhi in Toronto, to be honest with you.
Well, yeah. I mean, backing up a Brinks truck full of cash might.
He does like money.
Other than that,
he is Dax Shepard from Idiocracy. Well, money. Oh, I like money
though. We should hang out.
I mean,
who doesn't like money though? I mean, well, and to be honest, California and Toronto. Hey, look, who's just joined us? Chris Wells.
I was just about to say, I was summoning my inner Chris Wells, the Reds announcer.
Oh man, we crack ourselves up.
We
here.
Do. It's a show for us.
I'm super impressed that he's taking this all in stride. And to be honest, I think maybe that has something to do, you know, because I asked you about the nerves, and you were kind of like, "Nah, probably not." And I think it might have something to do with that. I mean, that it's, you know. He's been waiting for it his whole life, and now that it's finally here, it's got to be a little
nerve-wracking. There's something. Sure, there's something. I mean, Vlad has never had this type of test, and it's a whole different thing. I wouldn't put it past any of that. What was the – you were telling me about an article that had Toronto to do with it, with attendance.
Yeah, attendance overall in baseball has dropped – they said, suffered a 4% drop in attendance in 2018 and has not rebounded in 2019, with 12 teams suffering losses in average gate. And this is USA Today.
Okay, sorry. 12 teams are suffering losses at the gate.
Right. This is Gabe Lacasse from USA Today.
So then now they have to have $17 beers.
Right, which is going to drive more people away. But the Blue Jays are the biggest loss. They have dropped 33%. They're the biggest loss by a lot.
Now, are they converting Canadian dollars? Is that why?
Ooh, US? That's a good question. No idea on that. But I can tell you, and this is just in percentage of people showing up to games. This doesn't say money. It doesn't say if they're charging more or less for games this year.
But you know what's so funny that you just said? I wanted to be like, what are you talking about, dude? It's got to be the Marlins and the Rays, but nobody goes. So they're not having a drop.
You're absolutely right about that. And in fact, I don't even know if the Rays aren't one of the five teams with the biggest drops.
No way, because nobody goes to those damn games.
So the Marlins are, surprisingly. It's the Blue Jays at 33%. They dropped from 27,142 to averaging 20,451. Wow. They're the biggest drop.
Wow.
The Twins went from 21,072 to 17,379 early in the season. That's an 18% drop.
This is a last year thing?
This is from the first month of last year to the first month of this year.
Oh, okay.
So, like, a lot of people would hear the Twins and go, well, who the hell wants to go to a Twins game when it's 6 degrees outside? And I understand that.
Indoor. Yeah, they're indoors.
They're not. The Twins? Twins are outdoors. So,
am I thinking of the old stadium?
Yes, you are.
Oh.
You're thinking of Torrey Hunter in the old stadium. Now, remember I told you that whole story about when I went to the home run derby and I was, it had rained.
Is it really? I'm like having a whole moment here. I'm like, is it really?
Yeah, it is. Go look Target Field, dude. Go look at it.
You know what? Actually, I remember. I remember having the last MLB The Show game I played. This will throw me back. Was when the Twins had moved to the new stadium, and I was like, "Ooh, look at this new stadium in MLB The Show."
But I went to the Home Run Derby, and that's in July in Minnesota, and it rained, and we were up on the third deck, and the wind started whipping, and I was cold. And the people from Minnesota were laughing at me because I was shivering a little bit.
But if it counts the whole year, the summer trajectory should kind of change this, shouldn't it? Or is it just like...
Yeah, but what I'm saying is this is not counting the whole year. This is counting 2018's March-April average to 2019's March-April average. So that's what I'm saying. Like, people that would say, hey, you know, of course the Twins are going to be lower than their average last year because nobody wants to go in the beginning of the season. It's just first month last year, first month this year.
Okay.
The Twins have dropped 18%. The Giants have dropped 17% from 39,278 to 32,700. The Marlins have dropped 16%. Listen to these numbers, Welsh. From 11,892 to 9,951.
Oh, can you imagine? So the numbers relative to last year to this year, that is shocking to hear the Mets. Because the Mets went out and bought everybody this year, and they did worse.
The Twins, you mean, not the Mets.
Well, who was the third team? I thought you said New York.
No, the Giants. So the Blue Jays, the Twins, the Giants, the Marlins.
I'm just having an aneurysm. You did say the Giants, and I was thinking the New York. Yeah, I'm just having an aneurysm.
Don't the Mets play indoors?
What's the Cardinals, the Arizona Cardinals. What are you talking about?
The Royals were the last team at 17,450. They're at 14,923.
Well, your logic makes a lot of sense about the Twins because I would say that, I mean, the Twins are the best record in baseball right now.
Yeah.
I mean, the Twins are amazing.
The Twins are dropping. They, like you said, they went and paid for a bunch of free agents and they're playing
games?
Baseball right now. They're first in their division, but it's just fewer people are going to the game.
I mean, you probably hit it though. It's got to be something about the weather, right?
I don't think so. Because the weather is the same there last year that it was this year, I would assume.
Yeah, that's weird. Maybe it's just like, not high expectations for the team in general. But the Toronto one, what's so interesting about it is that's going to change, right? I mean, Vladimir Guerrero directly is going to change it. You would hope outside.
I don't think it is because didn't the Blue Jays come out the other day and say that they're willing to trade everyone?
Well, yeah, but because they're going to bring up all the young guys. Like, they're going to bring up, I mean, Bichette's hurt right now, but they would bring up Kevin Biggio. Like, people aren't sticking around for Justin Smoke.
I don't know. I think people might be sticking around for Justin Smoke.
People are going to those games for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. 1,000%.
I agree with that. They went to the Friday game last week because of Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I just don't know if that's going to keep them coming out, especially when he's not performing well.
I think people might be more excited, to be honest with you, if they brought up Nate Pearson and Kevin Biggio and Bo Bichette when he's healthy.
Who didn't the Blue Jays lose a decent amount of people in the offseason, or am I wrong?
I don't know who they lost.
Right. So I think the expectations are lower, and I think that's why.
This is also, though, a bigger
are showing up. It's definitely the same thing with the Giants and the Marlins. Like that those ones make sense to me.
It's also a little bit about people like not wanting to go to games. Like we're borderline millennials. We're not quite. We don't justify. I don't know when the age is. It doesn't matter. But we're on that brink of it, and it's just like we're not going to games.
Nobody
like,
has money anymore. People aren't spending money to go out to most things.
No, you honest. And I talked about this. I mean, I don't get political, but it's just like things get more and more expensive and things get we get less and less money. Did you see the tweet that Chase Bank did out that they got murdered on the other day?
No.
Okay.
I have Wells Fargo, so no Chase Bank.
Okay. I have Chase. Type in Chase tweet.
Okay.
Because I want you to see it. And I'm going to read off the tweet. Chase goes, "You, why is my balance so low? Bank account," like talking as the bank account, "make coffee at home. Bank account, eat the food that's already in the fridge. Bank account, you don't need a cab. It's only 3 blocks. You, I guess we'll never know.
What the hell?
Bank account, seriously? Hashtag Monday motivation." Bogman, let me ask you something.
What the hell?
How roasted do you think Chase got on this tweet?
I see a tweet from today. Are you ready for this one, the Welsh?
Yeah.
"Our hashtag Monday motivation is to get better at hashtag Monday motivation tweets."
Yep.
"Thanks for the feedback, Twitter world."
Yep.
Did they delete it?
They 100% deleted it. Are you kidding me? 100%.
There's 5,000 comments under this one.
Okay. And you want to hear the biggest burn where it came from? Elizabeth Warren. Senator Elizabeth Warren, who is running for president, she goes, "Chase, why aren't customers saving money? Taxpayers, we lost our jobs, home, savings, but gave you a $25 billion bailout. Workers, employers don't pay living wages. Economists, rising costs plus stagnant wages equals zero savings. Chase, guess we'll never know." Everyone, seriously, hashtag motivation. They had 94,000 likes on that one and 27,000 tweets. They murdered themselves, but guess what? To come back to what we're talking about, you said this perfectly. Like, we're not our parents' generation where there was money to go. Everything's more expensive. You want to know why we don't go out and save and why we don't go to these things? Because we got second jobs. We got to get second jobs for everything. You know, I mean, seriously, that's why I actually was listening to this whole thing. That's why economic numbers will also look so good. You want to know why? It's not that people are going out and
spending
getting
their money.
Well, they're not getting unemployment. It's because they have multiple jobs. When they lose a job, they still have another job that they're not going out and getting unemployment on. I mean, that's a total situational thing. Anyone could disagree and be like, "Well, it's not my situation." Okay, loser. I don't know what to tell you. I have like 3 jobs right now.
Right.
I have 2 full-time jobs with what I do in fantasy sports and what I do in my real life. I have 2 jobs. I can't fathom. It's difficult for me. Anytime we think about a game where I'm like,
I have like 1.5 jobs and no money.
Yeah, so. No money. If we want to go to a game, it's not a ticket. Honestly, just give us the free ticket. We're still going to spend $100 if we go to a stadium without paying the ticket. You know how many times I get free tickets and I go $20 in parking? I'm buying, you get a couple drinks and some food. Just if you do that, you're $90 in at least. Right.
I'm looking at the one from today. And it's someone painted a couple Chase banks on fire, and that has 1,700 likes. This one says, "Wells Fargo, F them customers. We get rich regardless. Chase, hold my beer." Yeah.
Someone said to Elizabeth Warren, they're like, "Oh, do Wells Fargo next." And someone was like, "She already did. She roasted them too." They're just out there, just out roasting all of those. It's just, I mean, it's also a classic, Don't step into situations like that, Chase. Don't tell us about our money.
Someone posted a picture of Paris Hilton just wearing a shirt that says "Stop being poor."
I saw that one. That's my favorite.
Oh, my God.
I want that shirt. I want to wear that shirt. I like it. But there you go. No one's going to games. No one has money. But we do have Vladimir Guerrero Jr. We do have that. And that's something we can be excited about. And, oh, we can watch all the games on MLB TV, right? Oh, wait, no. Blackouts. Oh, man. All right, we'll be back.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.